Thank you, Brother Jim, and happy Sabbath to everyone here. Let's all bow our hearts and minds to Yahweh in prayer, asking for a blessing. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we come to you in the name of your precious Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We thank you for this blessed Sabbath day you've given us. We thank you that you've given us an extra day of rest this time around. We thank you for opening our eyes to your truths so that we may see when you want us to gather before you. We pray that the message spoken today, Father, be inspired from your spirit, that those out there may hear it. Help us to listen to your word and to hear it, to put it into practice. May it be a blessing to those watching on the internet or those who hear this later on down the road. Help us to be better witnesses. Give us strength and wisdom to carry out your will, and forgive us our sins, Father Yahweh, when we fall, for we are all weak at certain times. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your forgiveness. We ask a blessing on this service. We ask a blessing on the service tomorrow. We ask a blessing on the fellowship, and we pray for those that are seeking your face and also seeking your help in any way, shape, or form. We pray for all the assemblies worldwide, those that are striving to keep your truth and to help others and to teach them. Bless us now, Father Yahweh, and let your spirit be upon us here so that this message spoken and the rest of the service may be a blessing to all of us and to you and Yahshua. All these things we ask in the name of your precious Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's interesting what Brother Jim was talking about. I wrote down quite a few scriptures here, so, and I always hope that I have enough material. But like I said, happy Sabbath to one and all. Those here, those online, and those who will hear this on electronic device later on. Okay. All right, and don't forget, after sunset begins the Feast of Weeks, better known as Pentecost, as Brother Jim mentioned. You know, in Jeremiah 7:18, it says there that those from Judah, and no doubt probably other Israelites, were keeping a pagan festival in Jeremiah 7:18. This was a pagan festival, and we know it because Yahweh was not happy. It says there in Jeremiah 7:18, it says, "The children are gathering wood, the fathers are lighting the fire, and the women are kneading the dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heavens to pour out drink offerings to other mighty ones to provoke me." So we know that this was against Yahweh's Torah because we're provoking him, those there. But anyway, I bring this up because we have to fast forward to the years between 319 and 325 CE. And thanks to Constantine, the first so-called Christian champion, at the Council of Nicaea, Easter is instituted, among other things, or better yet, Ishtar, because that's where you get Easter from, and that's where you get this festival from. And just like those lies, too good to be true, it is now dressed up as a kiddie festival with bunnies and so on, and is in competition with Yahweh's Passover. And this year, we didn't have that problem, because it came in March. Why bring this up before Pentecost? Well, because Feast of Unleavened Bread is the last appointed time we kept. And my point is, just like the erroneous calculation some arrived at to keep the last appointed time, we had the same problem all over again. And why you ask? Because some already kept Pentecost. We're going to keep it tomorrow, but some already kept it. And it's interesting, Brother Romero, he just got immersed in Passover. He was asking me, you know, when is Pentecost? How do we count for it? And so I had to try to be patient and explain to him. So he went to Leviticus 23, and then he says, okay, I understand it a little better, but once you keep it, it helps to understand it better. So he'll be keeping it with Brother Wilson, and hopefully they're having a good time, and hopefully he had a safe trip. But, you know, some will keep Pentecost either not really knowing the true meaning behind it, the importance, or like I said, some already kept it because they counted wrong. Over in Jeremiah 18, we sang that song there about the potter. It's interesting. In Jeremiah 18, Yahweh is asking the people, you know, don't I have the power to form vessels the way that I want? Because I'm the potter and you're the clay. And you read on down that story, and Jeremiah is telling the people there, look, you know, you guys are not doing the right thing. But in verse 12, here's how they answer him. They say, it is no use For we walk according to our own plans, and we do each one the stubbornness of his evil heart. And we read in the Torah there how the people said, you know what, this Moses, he's taking too long. We can't wait. We don't have enough patience. We're going to do our own festival. And that's what they did. And what happened? They got punished for it. So we see that, you know, Yahweh hands down punishment when we keep the feast days on the wrong time. And you know, when we keep Yahweh's festivals at our own time, they then become our festivals, not his. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. I just want to tie in a couple of things together. Normally, you won't think of faith and pride together as one thing, but the way I was looking at it, you know, there's a scripture in John that talks about it, but let's go here to Isaiah chapter 1, and we'll see what Yahweh is saying. And he's saying this to us in our day and age, even though we're not doing animal slaughterings and things like that. He's talking to us right now. It says in verse 11, "Of what use to me are your many slaughterings, declares Yahweh? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courtyards? Stop bringing futile offerings, incense. It is an abomination to me. New moons, Sabbaths, the calling of meetings, I am unable to bear unrighteousness and assembly." So something's going on there. It's not right. And the people are assembling, but they're not doing it in the right spirit. Verse 14, "My being hates your new moons and your appointed times. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them." So you can keep Yahweh's feast, but keep them at the wrong time, or you can do your own feast. Either way it goes, he doesn't like it. So question, who keeps new moons and annual appointed times in our day and age? Now, we certainly know of some. We see them preaching on Sundays who don't keep the appointed times in Leviticus 23, but some, they do keep Pentecost. But then they might keep it wrong, and also they do business on that day. So that's breaking the command right there. But when it comes to tithing, they will certainly ask for money. They will keep that command right there. And we see that because we see the big churches, you know, they're a lot bigger than ours, a lot nicer. Okay, the title of the message is Pride of Life. I just wanted to show how some who are prideful in and outside the body, they try to disguise it by saying they have faith. Now, we could talk about King Shaul in 1 Samuel chapter 15. We could read there in that story that he failed to carry out the command of Yahweh. Yahweh told him, you go, you destroy these people, all of them, the king, the animals, everything. Now, he failed to keep the command, but when he's talking to the prophet there, Samuel, he's saying, oh, honor me before the people, come on. He still wants to, you know, be honored before the people, but he failed. And in just that act right there, the kingdom was ripped out of his hand and given to King David. Now, here's one definition of faith. We could look at Hebrews 11:1, but here's another definition. It says, faith is an affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of Yahweh. So when we read the words Yahweh says, it says, thus saith Yahweh, we know that is true because it comes from Yahweh. And if we say otherwise, then we're calling him a liar. And we know what happens when we call him a liar. Here's a definition of pride. And we're going to tie this in with scriptures later on. Actually, we read from the psalm there, and I have one of the scriptures written down, Psalm 45. It says, definition of pride, inordinate self-esteem and unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. Pretty simple. We can see the definition right from the scriptures. Now, if we read in Daniel chapter 4, we could read that whole story there. And it's talking about the Babylonian king. And a summary of that chapter is, those that walk in pride, Yahweh is able to abase. So he can put us in our place real, real quick. And, you know, that's why the scriptures tell us, too, that we have to rebuke one another whenever we're wrong, whenever we're doing things that's not right. We have to come to each other, you know, in love and say, hey, look, you know, this is not right. You have to try to fix it. We have to try to go to one another, too, you know, one-on-one. And then, you know, in Matthew 18, it talks about other things we do. But now, keeping the festivals of Yahweh at your own time, it sounds like pride to me. And then saying, I have faith. Sure you do, in yourself, because we've seen it from the scriptures. When the Israelites kept tabernacles at the wrong time, what was the king doing there? He was scared. He was scared, oh no, Judah's going to keep the festival at the right time, and then all the Israelites are going to follow them. Let's go worship somewhere else. In the book of Yaakov, or James, it says, faith without works is dead. But it also says that demons believe and tremble. So let's go in the scriptures to Luke chapter 8, 27 to 31. And we'll see a story here. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe this is where James got this from. But when I read the story, it was interesting because it says a couple of different things here. And after this, we'll go to Revelation. We'll tie this in. We're talking about, you know, we say we got faith. Okay, well, let's prove it. All right, Luke chapter 8, verse 27. And this is a story here. Yahshua was rebuking the disciples there because they were lacking in faith. And as he went out into the land, he was met by a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no garments, and he was not living in a house but in the tombs. And when he saw Yahshua, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Yahshua, the son of the Most High Elohim? I beg you, do not torture me. Now, is this a demon trembling or what? He's talking to the Messiah there. The Messiah had the power to destroy him right on the spot. Luke chapter 8, verse 29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles, being guarded. And breaking the bonds, he was driven by the demon into lonely places. And Yahshua asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered into him. Now, here's a point here. Even Yahshua himself knows that names are important. Why would he ask him, what's your name? What's the point in that? And they were begging him that he would not command them to go out into the bottomless pit. So, you know, some people say they got faith. But look, we got a story here of a demon trembling before the Messiah. He knows who he is. He knows his power. And in Luke 8:31, it said there they were begging him that he would not command them to go out into the bottomless pit. Now, if you turn to Revelation chapter 20, here's something interesting. Revelation chapter 20, and we can read verses 1 down to 3. Now, why is the demon asking him or telling him, don't torture us? Don't command us to be thrown into the bottomless pit. In Revelation 20, verse 1, it reads, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he took the dragon, the old serpent, which is the slanderer and the adversary, and he bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up and sealed the door upon him, that he should deceive the people no more till the 1,000 years were fulfilled. For after that, he must be loosed for a season. So see, this demon right here, he knew about the future. He knew what was going to happen. So he's scared out of his wits. And then Yahshua commanded them to go into some pigs of all animals. And there they were. Anyway, interesting. I don't think for a minute that the demons called the Messiah Jesus. Because they knew who he was. They know that he's the son of Elohim. So they know his name. And at the same time, Yahshua is asking them, what's your name? My point is, we all have a certain amount of faith, whether in the creator of the universe and his son, or in ourselves. Now, the question is, how do we express that faith? Let's look at some scriptures in 1 John, since you're near there. First John, or Yochanan in the Hebrew. In First John chapter 1, we read that meaning of faith. It was saying that it's a practical confidence in the testimony of Yahweh. That was one of the meanings that we read. Now, in 1 John here, chapter 1, it says in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yahshua Mashiach." So we see there's two different beings here. When we fellowship together, we come together in truth. Our faith is based on the testimony of the prophets, right? They were inspired by Yahweh, by his Spirit, and they spoke truth to the people. And when they prophesied, the things came to pass just exactly as they said. And so a lot of us right now, you know, we can't just tell Yahweh, hey, come down so we can show the people. A lot of people, they have to take the scriptures for it. You know, they have to take the scriptures' word for it. And that's what we're doing. That's how we're declaring our faith. But it's not just saying, I believe. It's being here on Sabbath and on the feast days and looking into the word. How do we do these commands? How do we keep them? Also in 1 John 4:14. And sometimes, you know, it might seem like we're a little haughty, but a lot of times it's just that, you know, when you're in the faith 40, 50 years and you get the same question over and over and over and over, after a while, you're like, wow, the people haven't got it yet. Okay, 1 John 4:14. Well, we've had the scriptures for how long? And the people still didn't get it when they had the Messiah there with them. 1 John 4:14. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." So they've seen it. They handled Yahshua. They kept the feast with Yahshua. They spoke to him. They basically told him, look, we're ignorant in many ways. Show us. Explain to us the scriptures, these parables that you're using. Explain them to us. So they were unlearned. We're unlearned. We're learning. We're unlearning to do a lot of things, but we're learning to do the right things. Now, after reading these scriptures, here's another definition of faith. It says here, "The assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. The judgment that what another testifies or states is the truth." That's what we just read there. The apostle there said, we've seen Yahshua, we're declaring it to you, that he came from Yahweh, and they're not the same person. Now, some people go through their entire life telling themselves and others that they believe or have faith. But yet the Eliyah message that's being preached, they refuse to hear or even investigate it. And then at the same time, some who have actually tasted that Yahweh is good then start to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints their own way. They got the spirit of Yahweh. And I was talking to a brother the other day. After a while, you know, some people, they get mad at the assemblies. They start blaming the assemblies for things that's happening. We're not sure when the new moon is. They say, oh, you know what, forget it. We'll just go with the black moon and that'll settle it. And then they start going backwards, little by little. And a lot of us here, we've seen that happen. We know people personally that do this. And then a little bit of pride sets in and you have some, they want to start their own group. Anyway, Yahshua said, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." Has anybody here endured to the end yet? Right? When you die, up to that point, whatever you did, that's what you get judged on. So if you're still alive, you still have a chance. Whether you don't know the truth, whether you know the truth, you're still working. Just like you go to work every day to make your paycheck, right? Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, this is a good scripture here because it gets us, you know, it puts us in our place real nicely. Hebrews 4:12, it says, "The word of Yahweh is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, Yahshua is also known as the word of Yahweh. And he humbles us by his servant attitude that we read of and teaches us by the way that he walked and by the way that he taught. Even the people were amazed when he was teaching. He was so humble about it. He didn't have to, you know, show off. And also, he knew the intentions of the people, especially when some of the leaders of his time, they were trying to trick him. He already knew that. He said, "Why do you try to test me?" So that's what that scripture there is saying. It's saying there, look, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we know that, you know, Yahshua was known as the word of Yahweh. Now, that's not always literal, but, you know, we tie that together because, you know, the Messiah, he was the greatest teacher. We learned from him. And he learned from Yahweh, so he taught us. 2 Timothy 3:16, we're near there. If you're near there, if you're reading along, following along. 2 Timothy in 3:16 and also verse 17. We're talking about faith. A lot of us, yes, we have faith. But now a lot of others also, they have pride and they, you know, they don't really want to submit to Yahweh. And then I guess it depends. When a certain kind of person comes to them with a truth, they don't want to hear it. They might listen to it from someone else. But over in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." All scripture, not just New Testament, not just Old Testament. We have to blend them together. Faith without works is dead. And the word of Yahweh teaches the difference between right and wrong, and also how we can be doing things for the wrong reason. Like Shaul and his men, they spared all the animals, all the good animals. They even spared the king. But what was the reason? Why did they do it? Was that the right way to go about it? "Oh, well, we're going to offer these animals to Yahweh. They're the best." He doesn't care about that, he said. He cares about a circumcised heart. That's what he cares about. That's what he said there in Jeremiah chapter 7. Now, you want to know about the seventh-day Sabbath? You want to know how to count for Feast of Weeks or Pentecost? For this, you need the foundation of the Old Testament. You need the Old Testament. You want to know how to put your true faith in the Creator, not just say, "I believe." You need to read the scrolls that the Messiah and his students quoted from. Shaul quoted from the Old Testament. Peter, Kepha quoted from the Old Testament. John quoted from the Old Testament. The Messiah quoted from the Old Testament. So now, you know, here's a question. How come we read of the annual appointed times in the New Testament? We read about them, but we're not told how to keep them or account for them. Why is this? That's because those keeping them the right way already knew how, and they knew that they would be kept in the kingdom. It says so in Isaiah 66, and it talks about that in Ezekiel too. It talks about who's going to be the high priest, what offerings are going to be offered. And by the way, the Pharisees kept the Passover wrong in Yahshua's time, and they continue to keep it wrong to this day. So now, if you start keeping Passover wrong, all the rest are going to be wrong also. Because that's why it's a key that you count right for Passover. That way you're in line. You keep counting your days. And they come out right because Yahweh helps us. He's not going to give us a feast, tell us to keep it, and then, you know, not give us a way to know how to do it. That doesn't make sense. So now let's look at the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees, they also said they had faith. Let's go to John chapter 8, verses 31 to 42, talking about the teachers of Yahshua's time. And you know, he overlooked a lot of things because a lot of them didn't even belong in the priesthood. It said that only Levites were supposed to be the priests. Nobody from Judah, nobody from Benjamin. Okay, John chapter 8, verses 31 through 42. It starts out here. Then said Yahshua to the Yahudim which believed in him, "If you continue in my word, ye are verily my disciples, and shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's why a lot of us, we're free. Our conscience doesn't bother us because we're studying the word and we know that we're on the right track, at least to our best ability. Then they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never bound to any man. Why sayest thou then, ye shall be free? Yeshua answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If that son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I spake that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Yeshua said unto them, if you are Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. That's the same thing we're saying. If we're saying that we're Abraham's seed, if we're saying that we're Israelites, that we're grafted in, we do Abraham's works. He had faith in Yahweh. That's the works that he had. When Yahweh promises something, he believed in it and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Continuing in John 8, verse 40, it says, but now ye go about to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of Yahweh. This not Abraham? Ye do the works of your father. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, which is Yahweh. So they're saying that Yahweh is their father. That means that they have faith in him, right? That's what they're saying. Therefore, Yeshua said unto them, if Yahweh were your father, then ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from Yahweh. Neither came I of myself. He sent me. So who sent Yahshua? Yahweh did. There we go again. Two different people, completely different. And it said there, you will love the name of Yahweh and Yahshua, not other names or other titles. We hear many songs about praising the name, but we never hear the name being mentioned. And Yahshua, just like Yahweh, he's not concerned with lineage or how the Pharisees were dressed, you know, real nice and everything to get attention. And so on. He knew the intents of the heart here of those. They were trying to put one over on him, saying, oh, we're Abraham's seed. Yeah, I know that. But what are your works showing me, is what he's telling them. You see that? They're saying they have faith. Yes, Yahweh's our father. But what they're doing, they're being proud. Oh, we're Abraham's seed. He's saying that doesn't matter. Because why? Yahshua himself was Abraham's seed. So, you know, what's the big idea with that? It's no big deal. Okay, let's go over to, we'll go to Psalm. And if you want to, if you're following along, you want to mark the book of Psalm. And then I'll go to Malachi and back to Psalm. I'll go back and forth there a little bit. Now, this here, Brother Mike Bannock, he sang this at Tabernacles last year. Nice song. Talking about those that trust in Yahweh. In Psalm 34, verses 7 through 10. Let's read and see what it says. Psalm 34, verse 7, it starts out, the angel of Yahweh encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him, that puts his faith in him. O fear Yahweh, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Yahweh shall not want any good thing. So if you love Yahweh and you fear him, it says to seek him with your whole heart, and you'll find him. We don't seek him by going our own way, do we? That's not how we seek Yahweh. He gives us commands. We follow them. We don't say, well, that's old. I don't need that. That's not how it works. Even in our country, you know, we have to keep man's laws, as long as they're not contrary to Yahweh's laws. Okay, now in Malachi chapter 3, in verses 16 through 18, you know, a lot of us, not just in the congregation, when we're at home, we might call somebody, email them. We talk about Yahweh. We mention him often. We ask each other, what do you think this scripture here is talking about? I can't make any sense of it. What do you think? Tell me what you think. It says here, Malachi 3, 16 through 18. It says, then spake they that feared Yahweh, every one to his neighbor, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh, and that thought upon his name. We thought about it. We know what his name is. We need to use it. It's important. And they shall be to me, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day that I shall do this for a flock, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and wicked, between him that serveth Elohim and him that serveth him not. So if you have faith in Yahweh, you're going to serve him. And here when Yahshua comes back, it's talking about he's going to discern between the righteous and the wicked, between those that serve Yahweh and those that don't. And it also says that Yahweh is going to spare his people the same way he did in Goshen. You're going to have to suffer a little bit, like Shaul did, for Yahshua's namesake. But we can't compare what we suffer to what the Messiah suffered, being who he was, the power that he had. And he took a big step down to come and fellowship with us and teach us. Okay, so if we say we have faith, then we should fear him and revere him. Some people have a problem with fearing Yahweh because when we grew up, you know, as kids, you know, sometimes our parents would say, don't be scared of anyone. And so that still, you know, it remains with us. We say, why do I have to fear him, the creator, you know? I don't have to fear him. I don't have to fear anyone. Well, you better fear him because he can take us out at any time. Anybody that we know of, our family, our loved ones, anyone that has died, Yahweh took them. He's the one that took them. So that's what he does. He gives us life, then he takes it for a little while. You worship him in spirit and truth. You call upon his name and not names and titles of pagan deities. See, Yahweh only has one name. A lot of people get confused with the titles. When you say Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh Mekadesh Kem, and so on, Yahweh Nisi, he has titles, yeah. He's a savior, he's our banner, he's our healer, he's a provider, but he only has one name. All of us here, we have one name. When you sign that check, they know us by our first name. Yeah, we might have a middle name, a last name. We all have one name, our first name. That's us. That's who people know us by. We might change our name, but that's what we're known as. So Yahweh has one name. Yahshua has one name. He also has many titles. So that's important to note. In Psalm, you can go back to verse 34 real quick. I just want to read there. And chapter 44. Talk about here, you know, it's okay to boast. The scriptures say so. Let's look at how we should and we shouldn't boast. You know, since boasting is what a lot of prideful people do. Sometimes we do it. We get caught up. Psalm 34, verse 2. Very simple. It says there, my soul shall make its boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear of and be glad. So when we tell each other, you know what? The doctors told me I wasn't going to be healed. And when I went to the doctor, look at that. I was healed. And he was like, oh, wait a minute. Who did that? See, that was Yahweh that did that. He humbles the scientists when they're like 6,000 years behind. They think they know something. They don't know anything. They just now coming to know about Yahweh, about how he works, how awesome he is. Everything that he created, they even forget that he created them. Okay, Psalm 44, verse 8, and he has patience with them on top of that. Psalm 44, verse 8, it says there, in Elohim we boast all day long, and praise thy name forever. A lot of the songs that we sing, we use the name. We use the name Yahweh. We use the name Yahshua. And as Michael Root said, when you pray to him, he appreciates it that you use his name. So we use his name when we praise it. And we make a big deal about it. Why? Because it is a big deal. It's all over the scriptures, and he wants us to use it accordingly. He wouldn't put it in there so many times and then say, oh, you know what? It's too holy. Don't use it. How are you going to witness to people? Who do you worship? How come the pagans have their deities and they know the names And even Moses wrote of these pagan deities, but he said, don't use their name and apply it to Yahweh, because then you're blaspheming Yahweh. Okay, Psalm 49, verses 6 and 7. Now we'll see here, this was, we read this when we read the Psalm, but we can apply this one to Bill Gates. It says there in 49, verse 6 of Psalm, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to Elohim a ransom for him. And that's a pagan doctrine that some do. They say, oh, just pay some money and don't worry about it. You'll be relieved of your sins. Or just get baptized for somebody else. They'll be saved. Okay, Psalm 94. We'll go to Psalm 94. Verses 4 through verse 7. And you know, I was inspired to talk about this here, that scripture that you read in John. It says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. We know that's applying to Eve when she ate of the forbidden fruit. And it says the pride of life. You know, all those come from the evil one. They don't come from Yahweh. We read there that we boast in Yahweh. Shaul said he boasts in his weakness. Now, those that are humble, they know. They know what we're talking about. They know that we're not boasting the wrong way. We're just humbling ourselves and giving credit to Yahweh. Psalm 94, verse 4 says, how long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, Yahweh, and afflict thy heritage. They say, oh, let's not pray in schools no more. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. They still do this in our day and age. Yet they say, Yah shall not see, neither shall the Elohim of Jacob regard it. That's what they think. But we have commandments. When you own property, it tells you, don't glean everything. Leave some there for the poor. Because Yahweh has a special place for the poor. Yeshua said that we wouldn't have him always, but the poor we would have always. So we're reading it right from the scriptures. As the scriptures say, it is the custom every Sabbath, just like the forefathers did. We're going back and forth. We're reading Torah. We're looking into Yahweh's word. And we're seeing many examples of true life experiences. The word of Yahweh truly is inspired. It tells us exactly how we humans behave and then some. So in closing, I kept this kind of short, but hopefully it hit home. Hopefully it might wake us up, whet our appetite, whatever the case. We always hope is inspiring. It doesn't have to be too long. Not everyone that attends religious services is holy, but not everyone that doesn't attend services is wicked. And we can read of that in Romans chapter 2. You have people that, even though they're not here with us, they have a conscience, and it bothers them if they do something wrong. And when we approach people like this and we're humble, they recognize that. They help us out in many different ways. And sometimes they inquire and they start to learn about Yahweh. That's how some people come around. So the moral to the story is, if we say we believe, then how do we carry out that belief? And if we're being prideful about it, the Holy Spirit given by Yahweh to those who obey, it will convict us along with the written words, which contain prophecies that will happen exactly as we read them. Because Yahweh is and always was in control. And just like Yeshua wasn't fool, neither will Yahweh. So let's try our best to be involved in daily reading and prayer. Many saints out there need our prayers. And Yahweh does give us our needs, and he's generous. But if we think we're fooling others, we're only fooling ourselves. May Yahweh increase our faith, and may we put our devotion and dedication into use. It's not easy. A lot of us here can testify to that, but it could be done. So hallelujah to the King. Thank you all for listening. May Yahweh bless us and keep us. Hallelujah.